Talks about precious blood, precious Savior. He'll have to be precious to you, won't he? I dug too high, guys.
Victory. Does anyone have anything this morning?
I want to say it's good to be here today. It's, God bless me in the last little bit more than I can ever even tell you.
Right.
And I just want to thank him. And no, I don't sing. No, I love singing. Like I said, I can sing all night and sing a little longer. As long as my voice holds up. But I don't sing often unless I feel like I'm led, because I feel like you quench your spirit if you do something that's not, God's not in it. And this song, it's been on my mind all weekend, and then Buford said something about it, and I just feel like God wants me to sing this.
Yes,
for somebody
do.
Out there. And I'm preaching to myself when I sing this song, too. Okay. If the world from you is old, of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with a meager fare, just remember in his words how he feeds a little herd. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it clean. Verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servants fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. You know, it's easy to ask forgiveness for what you need, you know, but you've got to be willing to forgive somebody else for if they're in the same situation. You know, it's so easy. I lost my temper one day, and, you know, I said a few things you probably shouldn't have said, but the Lord convicted me. And you know, I repented. Asked the Lord to forgive me. Well, it was probably a month later, the guy come up to me. He said, I ain't really, you know, I asked him to forgive me too. And he said, I just couldn't forgive you. He said, and he came up to me and he said, I think in order for us to go forward, that I'm going to have to get with you and forgive you. In some way, we need to come to an understanding. I'll tell you something. I asked the Lord to forgive me, and I asked him to forgive me. That's all I could do. You know, the Lord forgive me. What he done with it is up to him. You know, and that's, for some reason, this here scripture was laid on my heart today. And, you know, it was strongly laid on my heart. So if you've got anything against somebody, forgive them. You know, we've got to make it to heaven some way. And it's not going to make it in. If you can't forgive somebody here on earth, I don't think you're going to make it to heaven. You've got to get along. That's what the book says. And I'm just so thankful for the Lord, for what he does. You know, he helps me through many things. I've had some dreams. I don't quite know what the dreams are about. But I believe that either he'll reveal it, or I'm going to talk to my pastor right there, and he may be able to help me with it. Because I've got faith in my pastor. You know, I believe that he's going to lead me the right way, because the Lord leads him, and he leads me. And I'm thankful for my pastor, and I'm thankful for each and every one that's in here. I love each and every one of you. And I just can't raise you up enough, but I raise the Lord up above all, because he's the one that I am serving. Thank you, Jesus. Exactly. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, buddy. Bless you, buddy. It's so easy. You know, sometimes you might say something just kiddingly that may hurt somebody and you not even know it. And if the Lord don't convict you of it, you know, you don't think you've done anything wrong. If I hurt you for feeling, you know, if he don't come and tell me, I don't know what to do. I don't know about it. If he goes around telling everybody how bad of a person I am, what's he doing? He's hurting himself just as well as he's hurting me. But, you know, I don't think Buford would do that, you know. But just that's just as an example. But I love each and every one of you. And yeah, and at one time, I don't think I know the Lord. I really don't. Bless you. Remember that. prayed. Anybody else? I'm going to turn it over to Paul.
Life is kind of like a railroad, ain't it? Sometimes you just got to keep your hand on the throttle and your eyes on the rail. And I told you here Wednesday night, whatever you come up against, if you fail, the Lord will pick you up. If he don't pick you up, he'll pick you up flat. Turn your Bible to 2 Kings. I'm going to read one verse of scripture, and I'll let you sit down, but I want to back up and go over this. Second Kings chapter number 5, let's start reading here. I'm going to read maybe 3 verses. And I guess if I had a thought this morning, be this right here, obedience is better than sacrifice. 2 Kings 5 and 9 said, "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee. Thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, to strike his hand over the place and recover the leper.'" You may be seated. When we get to a place in our life where that we don't become obedient, then comes the sacrifice. But anyway, hearing the story here, guys, I've looked at this a lot over the years and thought about it a lot over the years, and you see here that the story of Elisha, and we know the story of Elijah. Elijah run his race that was set before him. He was a man that dealt with Jezebel and Ahab, and Ahab's wife tried her best to get rid of all the preachers, God's preachers, and lift up the preachers of the world, and Elijah, he had battles just like me and you. It talks about in the New Testament how that Elijah was a man of like passion like we are. Elijah, there was times in his life that he'd go to the mountaintop, but when he'd enjoy the victory up there when God begins to bring down the fire, then turn right around because of a threat and takes off and runs into the wilderness. And then, you know, he gets to thinking, well, I'm the only one left. It's just only me. And all of a sudden, God sends an angel down there and puts cake and a jar of water at his head. He raised up. He got up and ate him a little bite and laid back down. The angel of God come back again and said, "You better get up and eat." Said, "Your journey's going to be great before you." You know the story about how that Elijah went 40 days and 40 nights in the strength of what the messenger, the angel come and got. Then the next thing you know, here we are. He's going up yonder under a juniper tree, wanting to die. I mean, I'm just talking about this morning the reality of man, how we are. We all We all experience mountaintops. We all experience valleys. But I'm going to tell you something this morning, guys. Living for God sometimes and a lot of times is not an easy road. I mean, I think about what old Joe Walt used to say all the time, man born of woman is but few days and full of trouble. And then Elijah here, he run his race and God come got him, whirlwind. But before he did, here we read about, we're talking about Elisha this morning. Here how that he see him walking about one day, and he's out there in the field plowing 12 yoke of oxen, and got rid of the plow, built a fire, and the oxen, and began to follow Elijah. And Elijah said, "What are you doing, son? What do you want? What do you want off of me?" And he said, "You've asked a hard thing, but I'm going to tell you." He said, "If you just hang around long enough, you might get to see it." And Elijah went up. The cloak came down. They caught him. Elijah began to follow his walk with God. But Elisha was a man of like passion like we are. I mean, he had good times and bad times and confusing times and troubling times, a widow and a child and just everything you can imagine here. We see here a story about a man. His name was Naboth. He was a good man. Or Naaman. He was a good man. He was the king of Syria. And the Bible said he was a great man with his master. And not only that, he was honorable because the Lord had given deliverance through that man, through him. But the Bible goes on to say, even though he was a good man, he was a leper. I mean, here this morning, we can look at this and see and realize, I mean, that God has got some good people. I believe that. But there's some of them, some people that's got diseases and different things that they have to deal with all their life. There's diabetics out there. I'm pretty well blind without glasses. I mean, there's things that you and I go through. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he sought the Lord three times, but God said no. He said, "But my grace is sufficient." But anyway, here was Elisha in a time in his ministry, time in his life that there was a good man. He was a good fella. The Bible said he was captain over the host of the king of Syria, and the Lord had used him to bring a lot of deliverance for Syria. There, he's a good man of valor. He's a mighty man. But the Bible said, but he was a leper. Ain't it something this morning? Always anything that you do or go through, but there'll be something. But there'll be something. But somebody always got in front of me when the water was troubled. But I couldn't get to you, and I had to climb a tree. But I had to play. I had to press through the crowd. There'll always be a bud. There'll always be something that'll try to hinder you from doing what you want to do. A leper, you see in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the Bible said when people were leper, they stayed away from the and they hollered unclean, unclean, trying to keep from spreading that thing. And you can read through the Bible, Jesus cleansed 10 of them, one come back. Lepers are washed. Lepers are cleansed, just like me and you. There's a cleansing that has to take place pretty regular in a child of God's life. Why is it? I'll tell you why. It's but. But this, but that. But I know one thing, God will make a way and provide. For obedience is better than sacrifice. So here we are, Naaman. He was a good man, but he had a problem. He was a leper. And the Bible said, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Here was a woman that waited on Naaman's wife, and she knowed if she could get him to God, she knowed if she could get him where God was, that God was able to do things. God was able to take care of it. I'm going to use Bill this morning. I know, Debbie knowed, Ruby knowed, we all knowed, and most of us did, I hope and pray, that if we got them close, if we got them down here, they'd surrender. If we got them down here, thank God for a maid, thank God for a woman that had a compassionate heart and wanted to get Naaman down to where God was, or down where the message was, or down where Elisha was. Let's go on. And the Bible said, verse 4 said, he went in and then told his Lord, saying, thus and thus, and the maid that is in the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, and now when the letter is coming to thee, behold, I have therewith sent Laman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And the Bible said, and it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter, he rent his clothes, got mad, and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doeth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore considereth, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. Now look here this morning, guys. I mean, how easy that people get crossed up, what happened here? Let's back up to verse 3. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he will recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus, said the maid that is in the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go on then, go to. He said, I'm going to send a letter up there to him. He said, and he departed with the letter, went up there, took the 10,000, and didn't go empty handed, 10 changes of raiment, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel. And when the king read it, he thought, what in the world? Why does he think that I have the ability to do this or to do that? I mean, I'm going to tell you something this morning, guys. I don't have it, but I know a man that does. I don't have it, but I'll guarantee you, if we can get close enough to him, if we can get them to where the Lord can touch them, I'll guarantee you that they can be helped, they can be touched, they can be saved, they can be healed. But I'm going to tell you this morning, guys, our obedience is better than sacrifice. Now, verse number 7, he said, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now unto me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. He said, hey, king, don't get so mad and bent out of shape and tore up. He said, just send him down here, and they'll know that there is a God in Israel. Just send him down here. Now, the Bible said, now look here, guys. Look here at the church. Look here at the obedience of the people of God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And the Bible said, and Naaman, I just read it, and Naaman came with his horses, with his chariots, and stood in the door of Elisha's house, and Elisha sent a messenger out there. And the Bible said, when he sent a messenger out there, and the messenger said unto him, go wash seven in Jordan seven times, thy flesh shall come to thee again, and shall be clean. Now here, not only the king got mad, and not only Elisha, lot of anger going on here, but the whole message is just right here. Why can't we just listen? Why can't we just do what the Word of God says? Obedience is better than sacrifice. But anyway, the Bible said right here, and then Elijah sent the messenger down there and told him to go down into Jordan and dip himself seven times. And verse number 11, Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought, see right here,
here, what happens a lot of times, I get to thinking how it ought to be. You get to thinking how it ought to be. But I'll tell you how it ought to be. It ought to be this way. It ought to be this blessed old black book that I hold in my hand. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Now look what he said. He said, now I thought for sure that he'd come out and stand upon. I thought for sure he'd come right out and lay his hand on me. I thought he'd come out, lay his hand, put his hand above me, and I'd recover and to strike me over the place, and I'd recover of the leper. He said, now, verse, not only that, he said, why in the world does he want me to go down to Jordan? I'll tell you why he wants you to go to Jordan. He wants you to go where he says to go. He wants you to do what he wants you to do. But you can't do it unless God, you're in the place where you ought to be. But he got mad and said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going. I know a river that's closer. I know a better river or a better place. I'll assure you this morning, guys, obedience is better than sacrifice. Look here, verse number 12. Are not Abana, Parva, the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went his way in rage. Listen, I don't understand a lot of things that God tells us to do. I don't understand it. Don't know why. Why we do what we do sometimes. But there ain't no need getting mad over it. There ain't no need turning in rage and leaving in anger. Why? Because obedience is better than sacrifice. He left in anger and left in rage. Now look what the Bible said. And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee some great thing, wouldest thou not done it? How much rather then, when thou sayest, wash and be clean? See here, If he'd asked you to done some great thing, you'd have done it. I know an individual that if his name would have got on a building, they would have made another unit or another place of help or another place of rescue. But when they denied giving him his name to be great, to be published there, he went away angry. He went away mad, said, I'm not going to have anything to do with it. But his servant said, if he'd asked you to done something like that, he said, you'd have done it. He said, why is it that you can't go down and dip yourself seven times in the river of Jordan and be cleansed? Why can't you do that? I'll tell you why. Because obedience is better than sacrifice. We downstairs with the youngins this morning, Cain and Abel. God told Cain, he said, if you do well, sin lieth at the door. You know what sin separate? You know what sin represents? It represents separation, torn apart, and then this and that. And somewhere along the way, there has to be some repenting along the way. But God, Cain said, you've got a mark on me. He said, I'm as a vagabond. He said, I'll carry this the rest of my days. I'll tell you something this morning, guys. In a process of time, how will we ever do good? Sin left a light at the door. But I'll tell you, if you'll do well, it'll be pleasing to God. It ain't the ability that you have to do. It's what you do with what you do have. But anyway, he said, why'd you get so angry? He'd ask you to do. Notice that he said, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, he said, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, wash and be clean? Verse number 14. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan. And according to the saying of the man of God, his flesh came again like unto the flesh of the little child, and he was clean. Look here, guys. The Bible said that the servant said, he told you to go down, dip yourself seven times. He went down once, come back up, nothing. Went down again, come back up, nothing. Come back, went down, come back again. What did Elijah tell the servant to do? He said, go out yonder and look seven times out there. And they finally come back. He went that six times. You know what he said? He said nothing. And he come back again, he said nothing. I come back again, said nothing. But when he come back that seventh time, he seen a cloud out there about the size of a man's hand. Hey, out there this morning, little as much. When God's in it, obedience is better than sacrifice. He went down six times, nothing. When he went down seven times, come up, I believe, praise God, he was cleansed. Why is that? Obedience is better than sacrifice. I was in church one time, and I'm going to tell this. I've just been in church 4 or 5 years, maybe. There's a preacher fixing to get up and preach. He had something in his pocket. And I told my pastor, I said, I believe the Lord wants me to go over and tell him to get that out of his pocket before he preaches. He looked at me, he said, when? Or I said, wonder when he wants me to do it. He said, right now. And I swallowed a block and a brick, and I went over and told him, I said, I believe the Lord wants you to get them out of your pocket before you get up. He said, I forgot, thank you. See, guys, it ain't the big things. It ain't the big things that mean so much. It's the little things. It's the little things that we do to be a help and a blessing to others. If I could just say, well, yeah, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, but may you make sure you tell them who's the pastor down there. You know I don't feel that way. But there's a lot. They've got to be in the forefront. They got to be the one over everything. You know what ends up when they're not? Sacrifice. It's going to cost something somewhere. The servant said if he'd have done just exactly what he told you to do, it would have been all right. We'll do things in order the way this book says, it'll be all right. He went down there seven times, and when he dipped, he come up and he's clean. What did the Bible say? In verse number 15, he returned to the man of God, and he and all his company. Came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Listen, Elijah said, I'm ready to die now. Everybody's wrong, and I'm right. I'm ready to die now. God said, Elijah, don't you get out of that cave. He said, I've got 7,000 that ain't never bowed to Baal. See, God's everywhere. There comes a time in our life we need to know where God is, what God's up to. He said, now I know there ain't but one God. He is the God of Israel. What did the Bible say that he done? He said, take the blessing of thy servant. Now here's what the old man of God said. As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. You better be careful what you do. You better be careful what you say. Because most of the time, it ain't the what we think it is. I tell you what it is. It's obedience rather than sacrifice. Stand to her feet. If you don't know, you ought to ask somebody instead of telling everything else. People really ain't as bad as you think they are. We need obedience rather than sacrifice. Ask, you shall receive. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. The hand of the Lord is not short, that it can't reach down. He loves us, and he said this right here. Hey, obedience is better than sacrifice. Be thankful we dismiss. Praise God, Ruby. Eat you a big old lobster while you're down there. Big old crawdad. Take care of him, Jody. We need the Word of God. We need each other. About you. That Sammy, that picture Sammy read there. Go on, read and study that thing. Those that's been forgiven the most, a lot of times they'll be the one that's most thankful. Thank you for not coming and getting all I've got and putting us all in jail. Thank you for your forgiveness. Then turn right around, forgive it. Then turn right around and forgive his soul. You know what that is? Obedience is better than sacrifice. If he'd have done what had been done unto him, he wouldn't have ended up in shape he'd be in, would he? Couldn't forgive, could he? Our hearts and minds clear. Come up here, Lucia. I want you to dismiss us in prayer today. Amen.